WDATX Mobile 14714, good morning. I think that was you, Mr. Jim. A lot of static broke up real bad.
All right, I shifted over to Petoskey. Is that better?
Oh, yeah, 100% more better. Oh, good morning.
Yeah, it is morning. Sun's coming up. I guess that's a good thing. I'm not really in the greatest of moods. I don't know why.
All right, sound like me yesterday. I was doing pretty good in the morning, but by the afternoon, I was kind of like, yeah, I just was over it. I was ready to go home. Oh, and I got home and ended up cleaning up my branches out of the yard.
Oh, well, worse things can happen, you know. I was kind of curious. You told me you were planting willow trees. Is that correct?
Oh, that was many eons ago. That was at the old house there in Vanderbilt when the deer were eating off the willows. That was even before I built the house over in Vanderbilt. I always loved weeping willow trees and wanted one in my yard. And I had actually tried to plant two of them near, basically one on either side of my driveway so that when I would drive in, I would end up being underneath them. But I had planted probably, I'd say four or five of them, six of them. But every one I planted, the critters would chew off to the bottom, and I finally gave up. The problem was that I wasn't living there, so I didn't have a good way of protecting them.
Oh, okay. That's kind of a unique tree around here. There's not too many of them. There's a couple, and the ones that are growing are huge. I've never seen a small one.
Well, fun tidbit of information, a weeping willow tree, if you get a branch that breaks off and it still has green on it, much like a houseplant, you can actually put that branch into a bucket of water and it will sprout roots. Kind of a neat thing when it comes to the weeping willow, because as you know, a lot of trees are not capable of doing that. So kind of interesting.
Ah, that is kind of unique. Oh, that's a good tidbit of information there. So what do you got, another day in the office today?
Well, things continue as they are scheduled. I will be in the office pretty much all week. Yesterday I had the Chevy Tahoe fire truck that I had to put lights on the grill, and I got that all done. Today I've got a customer that purchased a car from a different company, had a different company actually put all the lights into it, and two lights are not working and have never worked. So they want us to go in and figure out why and get them working. So that's the job today.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. You know, I saw an interesting utility truck. It was a big pickup truck, and he had embedded into the grill some flashing lights, maybe two five-row LED, five LED thingamajabs that flashed alternately. It looked kind of neat, except he used white, which was kind of interesting, too.
Well, a lot of the lights that you see, whether it be law enforcement or EMS or even the utility companies or even kind of like personal plow trucks and stuff like that, you can get a lot of those lights in multiple colors, and the most standard colors are red, blue, amber, green, and white. You don't see many of the colors other than those. Those are the most standard. And very few even do purple for if you're talking funerals and stuff like that, there's not many that do the purple light. So they say most of it is the red, the blue, amber, or green, and white.
Okay, well, I'm seeing more of the utility trucks that have really nice light setups. And like I said, these were embedded in the grill. So the LEDs were recessed back behind the grill. But they were nice and bright.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. It's amazing the amount of different mounts and stuff that you can do. I personally don't like the lights that are behind the grill. I like them flush, so they're basically right flush with the front of the grill. Or they stick out just a little bit, because a lot of times when you set something like that, you lose your angles. You won't get the full view of the lights because some of the plastic will actually block it.
Yeah, the way these were mounted, they definitely would only illuminate directly forward. The grill would have blocked any up or down.
Yep, depending on the plastic of the grill, it can really hinder things. So, but, you know, it's each your own. It depends on what you want to accomplish, you know, for what they're doing, and maybe that's just what they want. And another interesting tidbit, I would say 90% of the vehicles you see out there do not have any white flashing features. The only time you'll see that is if someone has what's called a taillight flasher, and it flashes your... Other than that, you typically won't see white in the back of the car.
Oh, that's interesting. I've seen truck beds with white illuminators that illuminate the back of the truck bed. I don't know, you know, they're mounted maybe up in the cab.
Well, that's different. That's different. You're talking just a solid white light for, like, backing up or, like you said, in pickup trucks to light up the bed of the truck. But I'm speaking strictly emergency or caution, lights pointed back. You typically won't find white. Unless, you know, there are some beacons like you throw on the top of a vehicle. I've seen personal vehicles that will do that, but when it comes to emergency vehicles, trucks, police vehicles, those, you'll never see white in the back.
All right, well, hey, good information, but you must be getting into the Veronica Valley hole. ACATT.
You'll be surprised. I am climbing that big hill there before the Red Schoolhouse, so we've gone quite a ways further than we normally do here in the morning, so I will go ahead and switch over to 86, WDADX Mobile. WDADX Mobile, 86.
Good morning again, ACATT.
And good morning. What a beautiful morning it is. And I was looking at the weather for the next few days. It basically looks like it's going to warm up, no more rain, and going to be kind of a nice week. And they're talking about 60s and sunny on Sunday. It may be a good day to do my brakes.
Joys of looking forward to doing brakes. Anticipation. I don't think many people look forward to that.
I may not be looking forward to the actual process of doing it, but the idea of not hearing any grinding and knowing that I've got good brakes, I am looking forward to that. So, there you go.
And I think you are absolutely correct when I was talking about those rubber pieces, that they are to prevent noisy vibration of the caliper. You were absolutely correct yesterday.
See, even a blind dog will get a bone once in a while. Hi, hi. Oh, heck. But, no, we got a laundry list of things to do, not a whole lot of ambition to do it all in. I did have some fun last night. Tossed a rope up over a branch, and I was able to get it off my HF antenna, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, yesterday I was looking at my my east-west HF antenna. It's definitely still got some extra stretch from that ice storm.
Understood there. I bet you it messes a little bit with your SWR, doesn't it? All I know is I picked up a MFJ auto tuner, and with the ICOM cable, and I hooked it into my 756, and it is working phenomenally. I was even able to get into the SmashNet on Sunday morning. I haven't been able to get on 80 meters in I don't know how long.
Now, you're still running a Wyndham. How long is that?
Now, my Wyndham is a 160-meter Wyndham. It's 263 feet long, 264 feet long, something like that. Well over 250 feet.
Okay, that makes sense. My 160 dipole is 122 feet each direction from the feed point. So, it's quite the antennas.
Yep, agreed. So, yeah, we got that all working, and like I said, I was very tickled that it works as good as it does. I'll probably take the manual tuner and put it up for sale. It's a good tuner. The meter on it doesn't work. So, I don't say it doesn't work. The needles move, but I think it needs calibrated. But I've never seen an MFJ meter with, anyway. But I was using the meter on my radio and was able to tune everything. Everything works fine. So we'll probably end up getting rid of that and maybe throw it up for sale sometime in the near future. But that auto-tuner has been a godsend. So, and the nice thing is with the cable, it powers right off the radio and it's all automatic. I don't have to do anything other than key up the radio and talk on it.
Do you have to push a tune button on the radio to tune it first, or do you just assume it's going to be fast enough?
Oh, it's fast enough. I literally, if I go to a band and I want to tune, I just put it on AM, key the radio, it tunes, and I don't have to actually hit the tune button or anything. I just put it on AM, key the mic, it tunes, and I'm good to go.
Oh, very cool. It's almost no-brainer radio. That's as good as a built-in tuner.
My phone is covering and I gotta go. WDAJX.
Alpha Charlie 8, don't get off. Put the radio on scan mode, listening.
Hey, GMH Mobile. Any GMH Mobile.
Alpha Charlie 8, Delta Golf, listening on the Northern Michigan Link system.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. How are things? Any GMH Mobile.
Well, good morning, Mr. Drake. Well, today might be a good day. I'm supposed to get all the parts and pieces, so maybe I'll get my APRS Digi up and running. Interesting little connectors I'm getting. They're going from DB9 to connector and from a RJ45 to a connector, so I can make just little jumper wires to connect the two between.
Nice. Are you going to use Direwolf for your TNC, or are you just going to use the same thing you had before?
Well, I'm going to temporarily get a Tiny Tracker 4 up and running. My goal is to get it working before June 1st. That's when tourist traffic arrives. But our negotiations a couple weeks ago, you were looking for some Raspberry Pis. If I were to give you two or three Raspberry Pis and a couple TNCXs, do you think you could build me a Direwolf?
Yeah, actually, I could probably do that. That TNCX is the... Yeah, I can make that happen. That's based off of the TNC, isn't it?
I'm not sure which TNC... There's a couple different versions of that chip. Either that or, do you even need a TNC with Direwolf, or does it use the audio system?
Direwolf is the TNC, so it can only use audio. However, you can put a different program on those TNCs, and it will just show up as an audio interface. Because that's what we're doing for the Digipeter. That's what we were doing at the, for the Digipeter at the Petoskey site. Was one of those, and it was just, I reflashed it with a different program on there.
Okay, well, I got a couple different options. I don't know if you ever heard of Northwest Digital. They're from Seattle or Northwest Washington, that area. I've got one of their controllers. Plus, I've got the TNCXs. Got about four of them. And lots of Raspberry Pi 3Bs. I've got one Raspberry Pi 2, but I'm going to keep that one. And I got a couple Raspberry Pi 4s. So I've got, don't be buying any Raspberry Pis.
I guess you got a whole stockpile.
Yeah, you know, I've been mixing and matching for the last 5 or 6 years, and boy, you get kind of a collection.
Yep, certainly happens. Anyway, yeah, I could probably get you something rolling. It'll be pretty plug and play. Did you want it? You just want it to be like a Digipeter, not a iGate or anything?
Correct. Just a Digipeter. It'd be a fill-in digi, you know, up here for the northwest. I can't speak. Northwest portion of the county.
Okay. Well, now that we don't have that East Jordan digi, that'll actually, we actually need it there now. So, and with the Petoskey one being offline, yeah, that would be helpful for us that way. So, I can get you something rolling for that. I can even, are you going to use the desktop interface, or are you just going to run it, like, leave the command line on it? Because I can do either one.
I prefer the version that has the full desktop, you know, whatever they call it, X Windows, or I guess they don't call it X Windows anymore, just because I like to be able to VNC into them to update them.
Okay. Then I'll, I can put Exaster on there. It won't do any beaconing from Exaster. Firewolf will do that all internally, but you'll at least be able to see what you're hearing. And all that stuff, and send messages or whatever you need to, I guess. So you'll have, I can at least put a GUI in there, and then Direwolf pretty much does the rest.
Okay, now let me think here. The TNCXs talk via the 40-pin connector, and I assume Direwolf would do the same thing.
Unfortunately, no. You'll have to run a little USB jumper to the PC from the Pi. You can leave the hat on there. It'll power it, but it's being used as an audio interface. The serial connection on the PIO is not just capable of sending enough data. It'd be used as a USB interface, or to be used as an audio interface, you got to plug it with a micro USB in.
Okay, well, temporarily I'm going to get a Tiny Tracker 4 working, I think. But I was not happy with the performance of just Exaster using it as a Digipeter, so, but I'm not smart enough to get Direwolf running.
Yeah, Exaster, I'm not a huge fan of it. GUI, IS-32. Another good one is Pinpoint. I like that one too. However, you can't use Pinpoint as a transmit iGate if you hook it up to a KISS TNT. I can only use it as a receive iGate. So if you want to be able to do that, you got to use IS-32, which is only a Windows program, unfortunately. Yeah, Direwolf will do all the digitating and everything internally. It can do iGating internally. And you can connect it to another program, and you can use it strictly for messaging and just viewing what stations are, maybe other external program to do anything else, which is nice. So, yeah, the, I think the trigger feeding that Zaster is capable of is just wide 1-1, which I'm not a huge fan of. You can actually go into Direwolf and set a filter so that way it'll distribute anything at all, as long as it'll distribute anything it hears directly. So even if it doesn't do, even if it's not a wide 1-1 pass, if it's a wide 2-2, if it, as long as it's hearing it directly, it will distribute it. So it's not...
So maybe in about 5 or 10 minutes when you get closer to the next repeater site, we'll catch you. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf.
KB9DGJKC9DJR. KB9DGJKC9DJR. Can you hear radio?